Hey everyone, welcome to Entrepreneurship by Design with Dr. C. I'm your host, Dr. Caroline, and thank you so much for joining us today. Entrepreneurship looks different for everyone. How and why we start our business, challenges that occur, pivots we have to make, success we achieve, all while life is happening. That's why I love sharing these inspiring entrepreneurs with you and shed light that there's enough room for everyone to succeed and thrive, even if you're in the same industry.
I'm so excited and honored today because I have Cassie with me. She is the founder and director of GOAT, a social media agency, and she is going to dive deep into her experience and journey as an entrepreneur, and I'm delighted to have her. But thank you so much, Cassie, for being here today.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here and to chat with you.
Awesome. Well, I would love for you to share your story because I've heard your story before, and I think it's just a testament to how we can go different paths and journeys, and it doesn't matter how old we are when we start, but what we do with that. And I know that story is so powerful. So I would love for you to share with everyone your journey of to where you are today.
Yeah, definitely. So I went to school. I went to undergrad for theater, actually. And then I got two minors in communications and education. I always knew I liked communications. It was just one of those, you know, where does it fit in? There's so many assets to it. There's advertising, marketing, designing, web design. So I kind of just always had that lingering. And then when I graduated from undergrad, I was kind of feeling out, you know, where I wanted my path to go. And I was freelancing social media management for a bunch of different businesses, for family, friends, people in the neighborhood. And I was like, wait, I really love this. And I said, I could make a career out of this. So as I started getting into it, I realized there wasn't a company at the time, 4 years ago, where businesses, especially small businesses, could hire just somebody to do social media. You only could hire a big marketing agency or a big advertising agency. You would need to have, you know, a really big budget, but nobody just to really help those small mom and pop businesses or people who are really doing it on their own. So that's kind of where that market started. So then I created my own LLC because, you know, you can't just get paid, you know, on the side or whatever when you start making money. So I was like, I'll make this a company and we'll see where it goes. I had, you know, no real idea that there was going to be my full time at the time. It was sort of like a side hustle or like a freelancing gig. And then as I got really into it, I said, you know what? There's so much I can learn. I need to go back to school. So I applied to the University of Florida. They have an online master's program and it's called, it's through the College of Journalism and Communications. And the degree is a Master of Arts in Mass Communications. And then they have all these different specialties. So I picked obviously the social media specialty. So I thought that was really cool that I got to spend a year and a half, I squished it into a year and a half. It's a 2-year program doing exactly what I love. And it was hands-on. And my professors were people who worked in the industry or were still working in the industry. And what was unique is that all of my classmates were just kind of diving into social media or thinking about if they wanted to start their own company or be in an agency. Whereas I already had my business and I was still running it while in grad school, I would ask the professors, you know, can I use this project for this client? How would this apply to my business? So I got to be really close with a lot of my professors and they got to really help me grow my business and kind of be part of that success.
Oh my gosh. I think that's just so awesome that you were able to take your experiences from creating your business before your graduate program, but really applying that and building those relationships and partnerships essentially with professors, being able to learn on such a deeper level than if you hadn't had that experience before. Because I think sometimes people might be scared to just like dive in before they're ready or whatever that right. looks like. But you did the opposite. You're like, all right, let's try this. And you loved it and you enjoyed it. And how would you say, because now there are some social media agencies out there, but how do you differ with your clients?
Yeah, I think I differ in the sense of I don't believe in a one-size-fits-all strategy. And I know that works for big companies and, you know, people who are taking on a large amount. I actually enjoy all the finite details. So if some companies, you know, they're thriving on Pinterest, then we're going to put our focus on Pinterest. If some companies, you know, hate Facebook, we're not going to do Facebook. So I feel like I have that kind of twang to like you know, adjust to each client. And that personalized approach is not everywhere. And I enjoy that.
No, and I think that's important too to remember, because there's some agencies that will focus on every single platform, and it's like, how do you get to every single platform? But I really love that you really focus in on what do they love and like where their audience is, and really fine tuning that, because I do think that's probably, I mean, you're the expert, not me, but like where the growth can happen. Would you agree with that?
Yes, completely. And I've worked with brands where they were like, we need to have an account set up for every platform. And I was like, wait, let's take a second. Let's take a pause. Yeah. Because you don't need to be everywhere, but wherever you are going to be, you do want it to be 100%. You don't want to be half on LinkedIn, half on Instagram. You know, you really want to be 100% there, ready for your audience, ready for potential customers. So I think that's probably a shift that I see a lot of businesses starting to do. Mm-hmm. Whereas in the beginning, I think everyone was like social media and sign me up for every platform. So it's a nice change.
Yeah, no, and I think it keeps the focus on where you need to be. But with your experience, what has been maybe some, like one of your success stories recently where you were able to focus in on that one platform and you just saw so much growth for that client?
Yeah, well, actually, so I work with a client and they are a mascara brand. Mm. And what they do is, you know, they have like a clean beauty aspect to it. So they were doing really well on Instagram, but we decided to actually expand that, but still keeping their audience on Instagram, but, you know, expand it to TikTok. And that's been, you know, a big success for them. And that's only recent that we've done that, but we've decided, you know, we took it across carefully. We didn't jump into it. We did the research. And it's ended up being a platform that's really strong for them. So I can see for them, Instagram and TikTok being their focus, and maybe some of the others such as Pinterest or Facebook, maybe taking a step back, which is okay. And to really have that success in that niche.
I love that. And how do you define like what platform will be the best? Like, so let's say they want to expand, but they're not sure what platform to expand. How do you kind of diagnose that in a way?
Yeah, definitely. So every platform has like their demographics and their audience, like basics. So, you know, I think Pinterest, it's, you know, something like 70%, 30%, although I think it's changing, women to men ratio. So every kind of platform, they have their published demographics and they have how many people in each age category are on each platform. So usually you start with those Y graphics, you know, and then I break it down to industry. And then from there, sometimes it's a test. So sometimes, you know, it's let's be on three or four and see what really takes off. Or sometimes it's putting the patients in, or also sometimes, you know, the business side of it, you want to be on LinkedIn, but then completely change that strategy, really make it business focused on LinkedIn and then really fun on Instagram. So it's kind of a big test sometimes.
Yeah, it seems like, and that's where experts come into play, because I know somebody like me has no idea versus somebody who has been doing it for years and being able to know what to test and what not to test and the technical aspect of it. But I'm curious with how you've grown, I'm sure the last 4-5 years or more, what have you noticed with, have you built a team? What does that look like for going as a solopreneur? Because I know you have interns and other things as well, but I would love for people to know a little bit more about that and what that looks like for you.
Yeah, definitely. So I did start really all on my own. And then as I was going, I was like, if I really want to do the things that I love or be able to expand or be more available for meetings and phone calls and strategy, then I needed to delegate. And that's, I think that's the hardest part for any business owner. And especially when you, you know, take so much pride in what you do and what you love what you do, you're like, I don't know, this is my child. Do I hand this part over? So I really haven't handed anything fully over. But what I've done, I've delegated some graphic designs and I have some freelance designers that I work with. And then in the summer, I do have interns and sometimes I have them during the year too, but summer is the biggest because that's when they get to come in person. And usually the intern, each intern has their focus and then they kind of get to switch or work together. So this past summer, I had two interns and one was more focused on blogs and writing captions and really a lot of the research, while the other was focused more on design, video editing, and then they got to work together on some and switch, you know, roles for some, but both of them really found, you know, what they love to do within that. And I enjoy training and working on that. And every client's so different. So I got the chance to really show them, you know, this client likes it this way. And this client will love, you know, if you put it in a fast version with good music. So I kind of got to go through that with them. But even still, I think it's a process. Like, I would love to have a full-time team and not just freelancers, but it's depending on where the business goes and where I think it is worth it.
Yeah. And I think that's important to recognize too, because I think sometimes it's really hard to ask for help or to delegate because it is like your baby and you're growing it. You're seeing it evolve year by year, even month by month. But how have you realized to delegate and allowing yourself to delegate? Because it sounds like it was seamless, but I'm curious, were there any like bumps in the road getting there?
I think definitely. I mean, I think there's a point where some entrepreneurs are trying to figure out their time management, you know, and even still, I think time management is something we all are always working on. It's never perfected. But I think before I even got to that process, there were nights where I was working, you know, all the way till 1 a.m. And I was like, this is not normal. Or like my best work doesn't come out at that hour. So then just kind of taking a step back and seeing, you know, how can I better structure my day? Where can I get some time back? And that's kind of where that process went. And being able to really shut off or being able to be done at the end of the day and then come back the next day actually makes me a lot more useful and stronger for my clients, because there's ideas flowing and I'm excited again versus being tired or being on kind of a repetitive loop.
No, I love that you're bringing that up, because it's about self-care is what I'm hearing too. Like, yes, being able to take care of yourself. It's something we talk about all the time on here, but being able to understand when to draw that line, when to have boundaries of, okay, I can't be working till 1 a.m. I can't be not sleeping, because just like you said too, it's how you show up for clients, how you show up for yourself. And if you're not having that energy or that clear thinking, how can you create? How can you be even more productive in less time if you're constantly going? So I'm curious, what are some things you do for self-care that have really like helped you recharge when you're feeling just you've been going? I know there's a lot of different things, but what do you do?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing for me that I've noticed, I think also coming from a dance background growing up, is that I'm not really good at sitting at a desk all day and then that being that day. So usually either before work or after work, I have some sort of a workout scheduled and I like to switch it up. So like this morning I did Orange Theory, then I got work started, but sometimes I'll do yoga or even I'll just go for a walk or there's like a hot sauna workout that I'll do. So like there's a couple different options that I have to reach out, but I notice as long as I move, you know, even if I can't fit in the full hour that day, but as long as I move 30 minutes, it's definitely a big part of my self-care, a big part of like releasing the tension and being there. But then I also love to read, and sometimes having to read not for work, even though I love to read for work too, but that's definitely a moment where I can kind of turn off the devices and read a book, get some sun. I do like to be outside. And I think those little things make a big difference.
They absolutely do. And I'm curious how, because I know like dance was a huge part of your life growing up and you still are involved in it, but how have you been able to balance and have those boundaries around, okay, I'm going to put myself first versus working first? Like, how do you manage that? I'm curious.
I definitely have like a strict schedule and an agenda, but does it vary and change? Of course. And I don't put myself to a certain T, but I do try to look at the schedule or look at the week. I have a paper planner that I use. I still have my Google Calendar and my digital, but I do like to write it all out. And then I'll put some flexibility. So say I'll put like a morning workout, maybe 2 days a week, and then I'll have flexibility for the other workouts. Or I'll put in, you know, time to for dinner. And as long as I have stop and start times, I usually can get everything done. But it's those times where I don't have a set schedule or I think I could just work all the time.
No, I definitely agree. Having it like a hard like deadline of like, okay, I have like 2 hours to do this versus like, okay, well, I'll get it done when I get it done. But I love that you have that flexibility, because I think that's what really helps us manage our time and our energy as well. When we're able to be like, okay, you have two morning workouts, you know, that's like set in stone, but everything else is flexible. Because I think when we sometimes are rigid, that's where we might be working so much or not have that understanding of the balance, which I think is really important. Through your journey, though, as an entrepreneur, because what have you noticed has been really crucial to your journey of being an entrepreneur?
I think one of the most crucial things is having a network and having people to bounce ideas off of and talk to. As we met, I'm a member of General Provision, which is a downtown co-working space. And it's so great to talk to other people who have their own businesses or maybe work remote and to realize, you know, oh, I'm not alone, or like other people have the same, you know, concern or same issue with their clients and how can we tackle it, and really getting to bounce ideas off. And then also just to have that face-to-face interaction. And then I also have a group of network of people that I've worked with from my professors. And some of them, you know, I can text a proposal. Can you look at this proposal? I want a second opinion. And it's nice to have that kind of to bounce off ideas. I think if I was truly working in a bubble, I wouldn't enjoy it as much. So I think that's crucial, really setting aside time to talk to others.
Yes, network is your net worth, as I say, because I do think it's true. And I love that's how we met, being able to be in a co-working space back in Florida where you are. But I think too, it's being able to have that understanding of like-minded people. Because a lot of times, and I'm curious, is there anyone in your family that is an entrepreneur?
There isn't. I really am the only one. So it's one of those things where they have great advice, but sometimes I'm like, no, you don't understand. Or like, that's not the way things work now.
Which like brings me to the point of like what you were saying with really being able to network with people that are in that same area or as entrepreneur, maybe not social media, but being able to see it from a different perspective and being able to brainstorm or masterminds or work in a co-working space where you're not in a bubble and you're like, okay, I'm like going back and forth and not knowing, but like being able to just kind of take a step back and talk to other people that could bring something different to the table. But also it's just being able to build that network. And I love the fact that you have your professors you can reach out to and be like, hey, your old professors, and be able to have that, because I do think it's such a beautiful thing. I'm not in the psychology world anymore, but I reach out to my old professors all the time of, do you have a recommendation about this kind of disorder for a family member or of somebody else that needs it? So it's, I think too, it's just the message of that and your experience is really being able to collaborate and have support from other aspects of networking that can help you elevate, but also other people around you too, because I think that's the huge part of it.
Definitely, definitely. And that's why I also love living in like a city environment or a downtown environment, because it kind of lends itself to that versus, you know, I think if I had my own company and was in, you know, the country or the woods somewhere, I don't think I would enjoy it as much.
No, you're absolutely right, because different areas, because I'm in Colorado right now, but like it's different, like Denver versus like in the mountains. In the mountains, right. It's very different. but like being in a downtown area or a city, you're able to, there's more networking events, there's more opportunities to really grow that. I mean, with COVID, things have shifted a lot of like networking online, but it's something like being in person too.
Definitely. What
do you think has been the key element of having a co-working space outside of like the networking? Has there been another like plus about it?
Yeah, I think there's two big, you know, positives for me. One is if clients need to meet with me or come visit me, I have a space that, you know, is kind of neutral ground and it's good for them too. It's not completely my own and it's not completely their own. And we kind of can collaborate together, which is nice. And then also having somewhere else to work. I feel like sometimes the creative juices flow when, you know, if you're sitting in the same desk, same spot all the time, sometimes I feel like you can get in a rut. So switching it up, because even in that space, I'll sit on the first floor, the third floor, the second floor, a conference room, and I get to really, you know, kind of get those creative juices flowing. Because sometimes it is hard, or sometimes you have to perform and create, you know, new videos, new pieces of content, you know, almost on the daily.
That's true, especially with social media. I'm sure it's a necessity.
Definitely, definitely.
So I'm curious, what would be like two or three tips that would really be beneficial for somebody starting off on the entrepreneur journey, or maybe that's in the the first year or two of their journey? What do you think is like prime tips that you could give?
Yeah, I mean, I think the biggest tip is just start it but not it be your main income. So I was fortunate that when I started my business, it really was a side gig or a side hustle. So I did it because I loved it, not because I was like, I have to make money and I have to pay rent. And it really was anything extra coming in. So I really got the time to figure it out the way I wanted to. I think if I would have felt the pressure of, you know, I have to make money because I have, you know, bills to pay, I don't think I would have got there the same way. So I think if any entrepreneur is able to do that, I fully recommend it. I read actually a bunch of books by Gary Vee, and that's one of the things he talks about. You know, if it takes sometimes working a 9 to 5 and then starting your business at 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock at night, and you get a couple hours every day, you're still a better position than not starting that business. So I think that provided me a lot of security and a lot of stability. And then I think the other thing is just to go for it. I think if I would have sat down and really made a full business plan and really thought about it for years before I went for it, I would have been more intimidated than just starting and running with it. And I think you learn a lot, kind of like trial by fire. You know, you just got to do it, see what sticks, see if it works, and kind of, you know, mold it as you go.
I love that. That's great advice. And I do think it's really imperative too, because a lot of people are like, I'm going to start being an entrepreneur and I like have no funds, no nothing. I quit my 9 to 5, but everybody's journey is different. But I do think that there's so much truth to what you're saying as well, because it's having, you don't become successful overnight. I'm sure you did not become successful overnight either, but it's right, all the hard work that you put in to be where you are today as well. And yeah, I think both points are absolutely imperative. So thank you for sharing those.
Of course.
So we're going to get into the rapid fire questions. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Awesome. So my first question is, who is your hero?
So I would say professionally, one of them would be Gary Vee, which I just talked about, which could be somewhat controversial with like his work ethics and things that he says, but I really am inspired as an entrepreneur that kind of like he'll take, you know, whatever he can do to make it work, to be successful, and he's not afraid to fail. So I really enjoy that. And then I would say, you know, personally, I would say my mother. She's a working mom. I always grew up with her working full time and being a career woman. And I really aspire to be that.
Oh, I love that. And it sounds like she was an amazing role model. And yes. I know Gary Vee is definitely a very inspiring person. Maybe not everyone agrees with us, but I think his tactics are unique, but also they're making a difference. And that's what it's about.
Exactly.
Love that. Thank you. So what motivates you to work hard, to work smarter? What is that driving force behind it?
I think the driving force behind anything I do is some sort of end result. I think growing up being on a competition dance team and doing theater, there's always an end result of the performance or the score. So, you know, if there's really no end goal, I don't really have the motivation. There has to be some sort of end goal or a campaign or a reason for what I'm doing or what we're going to do in a company.
I love it. It's like tracking in increments of two, like what is like the end result of the campaign or like whatever project you're working on to, there comes a close. I love that.
Definitely.
What, if you were a superhero, what powers would you have or power?
So I think I would definitely want to be able to teleport. I always want to be in 1,000 places at once. So if I could skip the whole driving, flying, traveling, and just be at 1,000 places, I would be happily.
I love that. That is definitely a very popular answer.
Really?
Yes. Crazy enough. But I mean, I would love that too. Because if you think about it, the time that it takes to get from A to B, if you could just press a button or like snap a finger or something and be there, that'd be amazing. We'd save so much time.
Exactly. Have coffee in France and then work, you know, at home and dinner somewhere else. I like it.
I'm sure it's being invented right now as we speak.
Definitely. Elon Musk is on it.
He is, amongst other things. If you could share a meal with any 4 individuals, living or dead, who would they be?
So this is a tough one, but I was kind of thinking history wise and then like nowadays wise. So I think the first one would be Eliza Schuyler, which I'm a big Hamilton fan, the musical, and that was Hamilton's wife way back when. And she was kind of one of the first women to really kind of have a say in like the US government and really kind of had a voice. So I would love to hear about all of that because I really like history. Then from modern day, I think I would pick Dua Lipa. I'm a big Dua Lipa fan. Mm-hmm. I just saw her in concert a couple of weeks ago and she's really taking over. So I would definitely pick her. I would pick Reese Witherspoon. I'm a huge Reese Witherspoon fan. Yes. And all the movies she does and all the behind the scenes work and her production company, I would love to pick her brain. And then the other one would be Sarah Blakely. So she's the founder of Spanx and she also went to FSU. And I think she's like one of the wealthiest businesswomen. I think she just has like had a $1 billion deal recently done. So I would love to hear her whole story in person because she started off like selling fax machines and then building her brand on the side and look at it now.
That is absolutely true. And that is one empowering meal that would be happening. Right. Just powerhouse women.
Yeah, I would feel so motivated after.
Me too. I'm joining. Right? Just invited myself.
Definitely.
What is the most daring thing that you've ever done?
So I would say I'm definitely not a daredevil. I'm very much like a play it safe. So I think anytime I've been on a roller coaster or like, you know, Tower of Terror at Disney, that's pretty daring for me. Or that's pretty much takes all in me to get on that roller coaster. I'll do it because I have FOMO or I don't want to miss out. But it's definitely not my thing. I'm not any kind of daredevil. I'm a play it safe, I'll hold the bags kind of girl.
Well, I mean, I think going on a roller coaster, that's definitely daring. A lot of people will not do that. Great answer. What is the, since you are a social media expert, what is the phone app you use the most?
So I have two. I actually always use that. There's like a end of the week summary the phone will give you. It'll tell you how much time you spent on all the apps. I always look. I think my two biggest are email and Instagram. Email is one of those necessary beasts. And I also love to online shop. So I think I enjoy my emails for those sales as well. And then Instagram, it's not always for work. Sometimes it's for entertainment. And a lot of times Instagram has turned into a communication platform. Yeah. Like a lot of times I use Instagram direct message to get a hold of friends, family, send pictures. So that's really been a major platform shift for me.
I love that. Yeah, no, it definitely has had that shift. I've noticed that in the last few years as well. Just like
more communication, almost less posts.
Yeah, but and that's building community. And that's what a huge part of it, social media is, just being able to build community.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Awesome. What I know you've talked about a couple books that you were reading, but what is the last book that you've read?
So the last book I read is called Hustlers and Seekers by Tommy Baker. And I loved it because basically it's kind of combining that hustle grind girl boss culture with the be centered yoga, breathe, intuitive, you know, really, you know, live an open-minded life. So kind of merging the two together, you know, really to be successful, you can't be on either end of the spectrum. So it's finding that balance. And I love the book because it wasn't really telling you, you have to be 50-50% every day or every week, but it's saying, you know, maybe some days that inner hustler in you is 80%. And then some days it's only 20%, but finding that balance and being able to see and notice in you when you need to shift can really create kind of more harmony or more, you know, fulfillment in your job. So I loved it. And I recommend it to anyone.
I love that book. I mean, I've heard of it. I haven't read it yet. But I do think that there's such power when we're able to stay in that balance. And I mean, it's a flow, I believe. But being able to understand, too, it's not going to be always 50-50. It's not going to be like 100-0. But it fluctuates based off of our energy and being able to be in tune with that. Definitely sounds like an amazing book for other people to read too. So I'll definitely add that below because I think that's a really inspiring book of like looking at it from a different lens.
I agree. Well.
Thanks for sharing that one. So if you were to have a movie about your life thus far, who would play you?
I think I would pick Sandra Bullock. She's a great actress. I like all the movies she's been in and I feel like she has some grit. So I feel like that would be good.
I love that. She's a fantastic actress as well, but that would be a really good movie. So if you had to describe yourself as an animal, what animal would you be?
Yeah, that's a tough one. I think I would have to pick a dog. And I can explain that. So a dog is social, but then they also like their space, or they also like their sleep or their own time. And I feel like that's me. The social in me is there, but then also, you know, don't bother me, I'm tired. So it's kind of that mix.
I love that. And dogs are just like very friendly people. Or yes. I call them people, but they become family.
I think of it as people too, so all good.
So what, like if you were having a bad day, what is the thing that instantly makes your day better?
Instantly would be coffee. Seriously. And I would have to, if it's a bad day, then I would want to drive to a coffee shop or get something really elaborate, you know, not just like a Keurig coffee I can make at home. But I feel like coffee is one of those things that even if I don't want the caffeine, decaf, it's just like a centering, a moment, you know, calm down for a second and then move along.
I would have to agree with you. Coffee is like the best thing ever. I like didn't drink coffee for a week, like during a detox. And I was like, I just love the taste, but I'm sure you can attest to that too.
Yes, that would be tough.
It's very tough, but yes, coffee is definitely good for the soul, I think.
It is. It is.
So I'm glad that makes your day instantly better. So when you do have a day off where you're not working with clients or just have your time, what is something that, how would you spend your day?
Yeah. So being in South Florida, I love to go to the beach or lay out the pool. And a lot of times I'll bring a book or listen to a podcast and kind of take that like me moment and relax on my day off. Or, you know, I do love to get a manicure and pedicure. I make time for that at least once a month. I do enjoy that. And getting to spend time with friends and family. I feel recharged when I get to, you know, if we go out for a drink or make a nice meal at home or get to try a new restaurant, all of those things kind of reignite me. And it's a nice way to spend a day off without, you know, exhausting myself as well.
Yes. No, it sounds very balanced of all the things that you love.
Yes.
And so my last question is, what's something an outsider wouldn't know about your industry?
I think the biggest thing, and I kind of run into this a lot, or a lot of clients don't realize, is it's a lot of numbers and a lot of math. I do a monthly analytics report for all of my clients, and I have to calculate how much ad spend and, you know, the change in engagement rate, change in impressions. And it's really a lot of numbers and a lot of spreadsheets. And I spend a lot of time dealing with all these numbers. When I didn't love math growing up, I didn't even like math in college, but being able to do real math that applies to something, my brain can get around that. It couldn't get around, you know, fake scenarios, but really there is a lot of numbers based. And I think a lot of people believe that social media is only, you know, you post something, you get goes viral, and if it doesn't, it's a flop. And that's really not it. You're really trying to track, you know, even if it's just an increase, if it's an increase of the only even 10% or 5% from month to month, that could be your customer base right there. You know, it doesn't really necessarily mean you have to be viral, but you do want to track those numbers, because that also, you know, adds proof to why clients and companies should hire me. Sometimes the marketing department of a company will hire me and my company to help them, but their higher ups who don't get it, they'll say, you know, what social media, or, you know, what is Cassie even doing? And then you show them a report of numbers and you really can't argue that, you know, anyone who's really into, you know, budgets and what can they can cut and where they can kind of, you know, cut corners. When they see those kind of reports, they realize, no, this is important. We need this. So I think it's good proof as well.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right, because that's not something people would think about either, of just how it's, the proof is in the numbers, but it's also too, I love that you mentioned, it's not about going viral. It's really about like the increments and how, like, even if you just have a few people looking at it, that becomes the client. And the turnover rate is higher too, based off of the numbers.
Yeah, definitely. And there's people out there, and anyone can look on Instagram, and someone might have 50,000 followers, but they might have a low engagement rate. So I always say, don't get stuck in those viral looking numbers. You really want to look at, you know, the total number.
Oh, that's so true. And I hope people realize that as well, because I do think that's important and why somebody would hire you. Which brings me to my final question, is where can people find you or hire you? Where can they look?
Yeah, so I'm everywhere. It's goatsocialmedia.com. So it's that name on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn. And then my website is www.goatsocialmedia.com.
Awesome. Thank you, Cassie. I will definitely link everything below so people can just click right on it, follow you, hire you. And we just really appreciate you being on today and sharing your wisdom of just social media and your journey of being an entrepreneur, but especially just being a woman entrepreneur and starting at such a young age and how much you've accomplished thus far. So thank you so much, Cassie.
Thank you for having me. This was so much fun.
Thank you. And we'll see you all on the next video.